Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Good morning! Call his wife and hey, how's everybody doing? 408? McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning, 888-808-1019. We got Alex on the other side. 1 hour left as we take it to the warm-up show at 5. As we have obviously had a huge baseball weekend, two premier series. The two premier series in all of baseball this weekend. The Mets and Philadelphia Phillies down in London Town. You don't want me to sing Paul McCartney's London Town. I don't even know if you guys know that song. Probably don't. But we'll avoid it today. Will we? Yes, we will. People? Never mind. just being stupid now. But yes, they get the split and keep the momentum, get a resounding victory with a come-from-behind win, and then hold off what clearly was going to be a Philadelphia win. And somehow, with a great defensive play, they managed to hold off Philadelphia, get the victory, get the split, leave London Town after answering all the dumb questions they had to answer and doing everything they had to do, playing on that field, playing in front of, I would guess, like a 60-40 maybe, 65-35, 70, I don't think 70-30 is probably a bit much, but a little bit of a Philly crowd in the atmosphere. The owner spoke a little bit. He said a couple of dumb things. I forgot to mention that, yeah. The owner, who has been huge with saying the right thing and I don't want to say patronizing, not the right word, but always giving the fans what they want, whether it's numbered retired, whether it's statues, whether it's whatever. Whatever. The guy always says the right thing, and yet he has the nerve to say food in London is better than food in New York?
Hey,
what is he, nuts? Don't die. Listen, don't even, if you're going to turn your mic on to try and justify that comment, just leave it off. It's an absurd comment. Is there fine dining options every bit as good as New York? Okay, fine, you can make that argument. But I'm sorry, you can't walk down the street and just walk into a random pizzeria or a random place and get the same level of food. You just can't. Everybody knows this. I mean, he's trying to justify the trip or whatever. I don't know. And he said a bunch of different things. But that one is the leading. How could you possibly say that London has better food than New York? Crazy. Crazy. And then we get to the Yankees and the Dodgers. Obviously, as they put on a show, the Dodgers take 2 of 3 in what hopefully, because, I mean, Yankees-Dodgers is as sexy as it gets, but what possible World Series preview could be without Juan Soto. Obviously, Friday we got the news as we waited all day with bated breath on what the news was going to be from the forearm injury of Juan Soto. It turns out just to be inflammation. He missed the entire Dodgers series, though. It sounds like he's going to make the Kansas City series. I don't know if he plays in all four games starting tonight, but he will be back on the field with the team in Kansas City, but misses this entire stretch against the Dodgers. And what you take from it is, they lost the first two games, and we knew the conversation was going to come back that showed up against Baltimore and even the first two games against Seattle. The Yankees struggle against good teams. The Yankees can't beat good teams. And then now you get the added element of, look at this lineup without Soto. It's the same. Oh, it's just terrible. They were shut out 5 times with Soto this year. The idea that they can't have a 2-game stretch against Yamamoto, who's got an ERA under 3, was throwing 97 miles an hour and a split finger that was dropping off the table. And you lost 2 of 3 to a Dodgers team that's a super team that hasn't played the same level of baseball maybe Philadelphia and the Yankees have so far. But the top of that lineup, Teoscar Hernandez going crazy in this series, hits 3 home runs in the series and just absolutely kills them every time there's a situation to be killed. Teoscar Hernandez came through in every big spot in this entire series. Plus, you get the starting pitching when they throw Glasnow and Yamamoto at you. The Yankees lost the series, their first one in forever. But it was bound to happen, and yet what we saw from their captain and what we saw from their best player and what we've seen from Judge this entire month is otherworldly. And even in losing a series, he hits two home runs on Saturday. He gets three hits in this game. He hits a bomb home run to give them the much-needed insurance heading into the ninth. And he is just a devastating force. He is the best hitter in baseball. He's already got a 300 average. He's got the highest OPS by a mile in Major League Baseball. He's got the most home runs. He's got the second most RBIs. He is a force to be reckoned with. And now that Soto is coming back, and we don't have to have the conversation about what this team would look like without Juan Soto, what I will tell you is, as much as he's impacted the team, and as much as it might seem like as they go through these three games without him, how much he's missed, because clearly he is, he's Juan Soto. And if you want to be the team that is clearly the best in the American League and should be favored to either get to the World Series or win it, sure, you need Juan Soto. But there is no question in my mind. I don't care how he's performed in the postseason prior to this. And again, call me up like the caller did on Friday and tell me he's not a good situational hitter. The guy's 300. He's not a good situational hitter. The guy's the best player in baseball. And we're seeing, as he goes, so do the Yankees. Because as much as Juan Soto's a part of this, and a huge part of this, and has changed this team in many ways, go back to when this team really took off, and it's when Judge started hitting. Because in April, like I said, they were shut out five times in the span of like 2.5 weeks. While Soto was going great, they still floundered. They took off when Judge became what he's been for the last month and a half. And watching him play baseball is a great treat. And hopefully we get Soto back as they go to take on no longer pushover Kansas City Royals, as they have a 4-game set with a playoff team in the Kansas City Royals, with arguably the best shortstop in the game right now. This side of Mookie Betts, maybe. But still, that's how good this young kid has been. That's how good Bobby Witt Jr. has been. And they're heading for four against the Orioles, which will be a test of good players and a good team. And this Yankee team, off of that excitement of everything that happened over this weekend with the Dodgers, losing 2 of 3, but coming back and avoiding a sweep, which I thought was important. They do get that at least one win. They lose 2 out of 3, but you get the big home run from Grisham. You still get another good pitch game from Luis Gil. As we wait for Gerrit Cole, who also threw his second rehab assignment with the Somerset Patriots and, you know, pitched relatively well. You got Cody Poteet on Friday night pitching well enough. So, you know, whatever the rotation is, the rotation's still good, and this lineup is still good enough. But, hey, they lost the series. How do we have a deal? But Judge is just an absolute beast. The Mets figure out a way to get a split and continue momentum as they head into a series against Miami. And we'll get to the Waller situation in a bit, but I want to take your calls. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Joan in Manhattan. What's up, Joan? How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm fine. Well, I have a cold, so I apologize for my voice. But
okay.
I think it would have been fun. I'm really glad you played that little piece of radio from the UK, because it was so much fun to hear a guy with a British accent doing baseball. I would have loved to hear the whole thing. So I assume that people listening to the radio in the UK heard that, right?
Yeah.
And we here heard our usual, you know, American voices. But if I'd wanted to hear that, how could I have gotten access to that radio station that you were playing?
I'm not sure. I'm sure online you could probably get it in some way, shape, or form. But I don't know. Across the country, I mean, you know, across the ocean, I'm not sure how you would have ended up getting it. I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm sure you could have went. It's TNT radio in England, right?
TNT? It's just TNT Sports.
TNT Sports. So I'm sure if you would have, if you would have Googled TNT Sports, you would have found a way to get the stream. TNT.
TNT.
TNT. It's Dynamite.
Right. Oh, DNT, right.
No. T. Oh, my God. TNT. TNT. It's Dynamite. That's what I said. So, yes, TNT Sports. I'm sure you could stream it on some way, shape, or form. But, yeah, it would have been fun. I agree. Why not do it like that? Especially, it would have given it much more of a London feel than Michael Kay did. And not to knock Michael Kay. It's just, you know, we've all heard Michael Kay. And you turn it, like, it's just, it would have brought an extra element as opposed to them being served tea by, you know, the Philly fanatic for 40 minutes. That was the longest segment. I was going to say this. That segment was so it was so bad. As he shows up, I forget the name of it, the patrolmen who just stand there and don't move with the red outfits and the big top long hats. I can't think of the name, what their name is right now. But the Philly fanatic dressed like one and brought the ESPN broadcast tee. It went on forever. They actually missed an at-bat. They said Alonzo flew out while we were watching the fanatic bring tea to Michael Kay. Like, what are they doing? Sometimes it just boggles my mind. And then it's almost, and I know Michael Kay, us Yankee fans who've heard him talk about this, he doesn't eat any condiments. Right, he doesn't eat mayonnaise, he doesn't eat ketchup, he doesn't eat mustard, he doesn't put anything on things, just a plain hot dog or whatever. And like, it's like he's never had tea before. He's like, oh, it looks like coffee. Yeah, like when you have breakfast tea, you put a little cream in it, it looks just like coffee. Like that, like he doesn't know what tea is. You got the Philly fanatic bringing over cold tea, they're going over the tea. There, I mean, it took 20 minutes and they weren't showing the game. It was terrible. It was just so dumb. But besides that, I thought it was fine. That segment drove me nuts, though. I'm watching the game. As I said, I'm putting my son's basketball hoop together. I'm outside. I have the game on an outdoor TV. I'm watching the game and I got to watch them bring tea to Tim Kurchin for 20 minutes. Tim Kurchin also said something else that boggled my mind since we're talking about weird things on the broadcast. Tim Kurchin said Sweet Caroline is his father's favorite song. Now, the way he made it sound was like he grew up, and then Michael Kay, oh, so you grew up with it. No, Tim Kurchin was 30 years old when that song came out. Right? I mean, Tim Kurchin had to be in his like 20s when that song came out. I'm not saying that you can't like or your favorite song can't be later in life, but his father wasn't a kid when that came out. Oh, it was just, the whole thing was, I don't know. This is him saying, yeah, my dad's favorite song. Like, my favorite song came out years before I was born, so I suppose you could go the other way. But, I don't know. Oh, so you grew up with it. Yeah, you grew up with Sweet Caroline because your father played it all the time. Meanwhile, you were probably driving in your Chevy the first time you heard it. All right, let's get back to the calls. Malcolm in Belmead, New Jersey. What's up, Michael? Malcolm, excuse me.
Malcolm, okay.
Where's Belmead? Why have I never... I've taken calls. I've never heard of Belmead, New Jersey. Where's Belmead?
Near Montgomery and it's near Princeton.
Okay. Belmead.
I think since this is an all-out year for the Yankees,
yes,
you hold up Eric to Gleyber Torres, because back in the 90s, the Yankees had someone who dropped the ball in a hot second and cut my block.
That's right. Not only did he drop the ball, he pointed at the ball for a minute and let a run score.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the case. They can do the same thing with
this
team.
All right. I mean, I guess your point is even the 98 team made blunders, and so you can't jettison Gleyber Torres for blunders when the 98 team made them? It's an interesting point. I don't see the relevance, because that almost came back to the difference. You need El Duque to come back. The Yankees need their version of El Duque to have a big-time start in Game 3, like that, or Game 4. Like, that's how you do it. You got to overcome it, but you rather not have that play. That play lived in infamy. He had to hit a home run in the World Series to make up for it in Game 1 against the Padres. Like, the fans were all over him. Gleyber Torres can't have that kind of mistake in the play, in the ALCS. I won't be happy about it. But I agree. I can't. There's nothing. It doesn't make sense. Like, the whole move Gleyber thing doesn't make sense to me. You can't. I don't know what you trade him for. Again, I know I've said it before, but like, he's a veteran. He's going to get paid next year. What team is going to give you a piece that will help you this year for Gleyber Torres? Like, typically, a team that's going to trade for Gleyber Torres wants to use him to help them get to the pennant. They're not going to trade you a big-time bullpen arm and rob Peter to pay Paul. It doesn't make sense. When you sell the Gleyber Torreses and you get back prospects. That's how the trade deadline works. It's very difficult to move a player who's going to be a free agent next year and get back a piece that will help you this year. Like, I don't see it. And especially when he's not playing well. So you're not even trading him at good value. I know he makes boneheaded plays. I'm the first one to say it. He is not a winning player, and he won't be with the team next year. But barring something really unforeseen for me, he's the starting second baseman. And I do trust him to come around offensively. Last year, he was great offensively. And for me, I know he makes blunders now and then. He dropped a ball on, I believe, Friday night. He dropped an easy pop-up and then makes what could have been a double play. Would have been a tough double play, but just blows a ground ball. Those things can't happen against the better teams in baseball. Can't happen. I'm totally with you. That's why it's hard for me to call him a winning player. But at the same time, I'll take my chances. One, he can make the very good play. But I'll take my chances he doesn't have the blunder and can give me some offense, because every time the Yankees lose a postseason series, they lose because they don't score enough runs. I'm not trading away Gleyber Torres and playing some, you know, playing Peraza if he can't hit, or playing some light. You know, I understand with the Mets, Iglesias has come up and given them a spark. I can't just play some light-hitting defensive second baseman because I think, oh, with Soto and Judge, the rest of the offense is good. I can't take that. I've seen too many good offenses go and not perform in the postseason. I need as much offense as possible.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
World Series over. Yankees win.
This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. You can also hit me up on Twitter at @CMacWFAN. And we've done a lot of baseball, but the other story here in town is officially Darren Waller tight end, or a former tight end of the New York Giants, has officially retired. He put out a 9 or 10 minute video on his YouTube page. Talked about just, you know, I mean, obviously he's dealt with a lot in his life. He's going through a divorce at the moment, or has been through a divorce recently. I'm not sure if it's finished. And it's obviously affecting him if you've listened to his music. He's had problems with drugs and alcohol, which thankfully he's been able to get past. He's talked about, you know, he's big into mental health, clearly. And he talked a lot about in the video, kind of his life didn't feel as good as it looks from the outside, which I understand that. Like, we all, NFL tight end, making money, played for Vegas. Now he's playing for the Giants, making a lot of money. His wife plays in the WNBA. Everything must be great. And ultimately, we have no idea what goes through other people's minds. So I respect him. And ultimately, unfortunately, because of last year, because of his consistent hamstring injuries throughout his career and the lack of effectiveness last year, plus you add that to the idea that it's kind of been speculated and thought of, and I guess, you know, Schefter reported late last week that it was leaning this way, that they were going to get the word that he retired, and it felt, everything you heard from the Giants, it just felt like they weren't expecting him. And so ultimately, today might not even be certainly not a shock, nor is it any sort of real devastating hit for a Giant team that I'm not sure real expectations are for. I think a lot of Giant fans have some. I think they want to see Daniel Jones. They believe in the coach to some degree. They've improved offensively, the offensive line a little bit. They obviously lost Saquon Barkley, but they added Neighbors, the defense, new defensive coordinator. I don't have too much faith in. I think that's part of it too. The expectations of the season, everything added in, it doesn't feel like a lot of people are disappointed in this as Giant fans, and I understand why. But at the same time, like, when I think of Waller and I think of the excitement we had, you know, this time last year for him, like, I think we forget, like, how talented he is, what he's been when healthy and able to play. He's been a devastating weapon and something that this team could have clearly used. And expectations were high. I thought he was going to have a really good year. I thought Daniel Jones, coming off the playoff year the year before, could use another, you know, kind of valve outlet to, because, you know, we weren't getting anything going to the wide receivers. So it felt like, all right, if you have a dynamic pass catching tight end who can bring mismatches and maybe open things up for wide receivers as well. And, I mean, ultimately, it didn't work out. And, you know, as much as today is kind of inevitable and it doesn't hurt that much, when I look back on it and I think of all the other guys, like, think of the guys with talent who just haven't panned out for offensive weapons. And as much as I'll kill Daniel Jones, and I will, I'll still do it. Like, I think, you know how I feel about Daniel Jones. We don't have to get into it, but I think even the biggest detractors of Daniel Jones have to admit the weapons he's been given are, you know, the wide receiver room during his tenure has been terrible. I don't think anyone could debate that. I've just seen quarterbacks who make $40 million do better with less, you know. I mean, maybe not as little as the Giants have, but you don't have to have a dynamic wide receiver core to be able to throw, you know, a touchdown to a wide receiver. So, but if you think of like even like Kenny Golladay just fell off the minute he became a Giant. Like, he was dealing with some injuries with Detroit, but he was one of the better 50-50 ball guys. He scored a ton of touchdowns. He was a dynamic player. He was the best wide receiver, pretty much considered the best wide receiver in free agency that year. And it was almost like a coup. The Giants were in cap hell, and there was no way they were going to be able to do anything like that. And they bring in Golladay, and you thought he would bring in something, and obviously that was a disaster. And then, obviously, Young Joka in Kadarius Toney, they draft him, and, you know, he plays that game against the Rams, and it's like, he's the most dynamic player on the field, including Saquon Barkley. Like, it felt like, man, the ability he has. And obviously that turned into having to ship him to Kansas City to get a pick to trade then. For Waller, it just feels like, for whatever reason, the offensive weapons, now hopefully Neighbors, who's getting a ton of hype here and is having great practices at camp, and everybody's raving about what a dynamic player he is 7-on-7 or whatever's going on. I mean, we'll see. And this is why I hold my breath with the Giants. This is why we talk about, oh, you give the benefit of the doubt to the Yankees but not the Giants. Yeah, because every time they trade for a Waller, it's a disaster. Every time, you know, they draft a young kid, it doesn't work out. Like, it's felt like whether it's Evan Neal. I mean, obviously, Andrew Thomas has, and Dexter's become their best player. But especially the offensive weapons, they have come up so small on all of these opportunities to get weapons for Daniel Jones. Even with Saquon Barkley, I mean, that was it. And he was injured a lot and, you know, was gone for a year with the knee injury, seems to get an ankle sprain once a year and misses time. Like, even he, ultimately, his Giants tenure is not nearly what it should be. But add Darren Waller to the list, and I, you know, God bless him. It's going to save the Giants some money. Ultimately, you don't feel like it's a devastating thing this moment because he wasn't very good last year. This has been coming. But ultimately, man, I mean, I had high hopes off of that playoff year to add Waller. I thought it was a great trade. I thought he was going to come in here and really help Daniel Jones and help this offense and be a big-time weapon. Instead, he was a nothing who had more hamstring injuries, and it didn't work out, and now he's retired. They did draft a tight end in the draft. They have Bellinger. They, you know, they'll be okay at the tight end position, but they don't have a weapon there. I mean, and as you look at the team, you know, Slayton's done a really nice job getting down the field, and ultimately he's been like the Giants receiving leader for the last handful of years, and you know, I think he's a nice player, but I mean, Neighbors is pretty much the only explosive player in this offense. And yeah, they've added to the offensive line. Yes, they got a new offensive line coach. Yes, they got a new defensive coach who I'm hoping can help. You know, it felt like this last coaching regime with Wink really unlocked Dexter Lawrence. I'm hoping this new coaching regime can kind of unlock Thibodeau and get him rushing the passer more. But ultimately, it just feels like nothing goes right with the Giants right now. Nothing. Even the pop-up year, you win, and then suddenly now I'm questioning the coach. Like, I thought they had a coach. I thought they had a GM. And suddenly now both seem to be on the hot seat heading into a season that I don't have much expectation for. And what I thought could possibly be a weapon for them at the tight end position is now no longer here. And, I mean, it's just added to the list of players who've come here, especially offensively, and have done nothing. Nothing. And have fallen off the table. And have retired. I mean, it's just, he either got traded to Kansas City and was part of a championship team, but also, I mean, you watch him this year. He did everything he could to help them lose. Golladay literally just stopped being a football player. I mean, he can't play the game anymore. And Waller retires. It's just nothing seems to go right when it comes to offensive weapons for the New York Giants. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, Coach, what's happening? That's what I'm calling us, Coach McConnell. What's happening?
Well, yeah, you can call me Coach McConnell. That's fine.
All right, Chris. Well, you know, I got hot seat questions for you since this Waller thing happened. You know, if the Giants are below 500,
yeah,
which one do you want to go, Dable or Shane?
Oh.
You got to pick one. One has to go.
If you're seven and ten, six and 11. I mean, it depends.
One
I
has
mean,
to go.
The answer is, and I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to say this because but the answer is, if you can get Bill Belichick after another losing season, then I suppose they both. But I mean, so then it's stable. Because I guess I'd rather bring in Belichick just to coach. I mean, if Belichick's out there and wants to coach, and I've had another losing season with Dable, and he gets nothing out of Daniel Jones, and, you know, there's more squabbling inside the coaching room, and, you know, the play calling is up and down, and sometimes it's Kafka, sometimes it's him, and there's kind of more inner turmoil, and they have another losing season, and Belichick is out there and wants to be the next head coach of the New York Giants, then I guess that's my answer. My answer would be Dable, because I think I know, there is a replacement out there who's one of the best to ever do it. I don't know how I replace the GM as easily.
Right. Well, listen, I see Shane, he can't solidify this offense. if it's like you said, Evan Neal to the left tackle, make him right tackle. They have no running game now. Now you thought you had a tight end.
Well, I mean, again,
game.
I don't know. They don't have the league's most talented running back. Doesn't mean they don't have a running game. If the offensive line can block, they might have a running game. I'm not resigned to the idea that you need a talent level, the likes of Saquon Barkley, to have a running game. Devin Singletary can get a running game going for you. Doesn't have to be a dynamic running game, but a successful one. One that's enough to be able to run play action passing and get some, you know, plays down the field, which is what I would love to see. I mean, that's really the problem. The problem isn't the running game. The problem is they don't get plays down the field. They don't get big plays. They never get big plays. Now, hopefully Neighbors is a big play guy. Hopefully Daniel Jones can have that connection. You know, Hyatt gets down the field, obviously. He's got some speed. Neighbors is just a dynamic player. But, I mean, that's it. And Slayton can kind of get down the field, too. He's been a pretty good player for the Giants. But ultimately, like, I don't have a lot of faith in the offense. So when you ask me what's going to happen on the hot seat, or who, like I mentioned, they're on the hot seat, and you ask me which one would I'd rather see go, I mean, I'm hoping, because I don't know how great of a talent evaluator and GM he's been over the last handful of years. I still think he can coach. I'm hoping that Belichick would be willing to come in and coach and work with the GM. But if that's plausible, if that's real, and they have another disaster of a season. Like you said, 7-8 wins. That's not really, I mean, yes, technically that's under 500, but it's not. Like I'm talking about if they have another four, if they have a 5-win season, if they have another just miserable season and they're 2-6 after 8, and it's just the season's dead. Daniel Jones is hurt again. And it just feels like it's stale and it's the same as before. It's the same under, doesn't matter the regime. It's the same. Then I think, if Belichick is out there and open to coaching the Giants, I don't know how you don't do it. Like, I know that I don't like saying it. I just don't know how you don't do it. Like, I like Dable. I think he's a good coach. And I don't want to play this carousel of coaches. I don't. I think you need stability. And if Belichick wasn't out there, I probably wouldn't be saying this. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the great coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time, connections to the fan base. And the organization, if this falls on its face again, how do you not bring Bill Belichick into this building? Motivated off a year off, nobody wanted him, the Falcons turned him down. Like, I could just see him preparing right now. Like I could literally say, if I walked into Bill Belichick's house right now, I bet you he's watching Giant tape. If I knocked on his door, if he wasn't, you know, at you know, some random's house. If I walked to Bill Belichick's house right now, walked in, he's sitting with a notepad watching film on Daniel Jones or watching film on the Giants, I bet you. And if that's the case, how do you not? How do you not?
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 448, McGonagall here with you. Another few minutes before the warm-up show at 5 o'clock. So let's get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. You know how we do the last few minutes. We try and get to as many as we can before the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow night filling in for, actually, tonight. I'll be back after the Yankee game filling in for Keith. So right after Yankees post-game against the Yankees Kansas City Royals, I'll be on right after the post-game later tonight, possibly early tomorrow morning, I'm not sure. But no overnights tomorrow filling in for Keith again. Let's get to the calls. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Hi, how you doing?
Good morning. How you doing, buddy? How's everything? Good?
Everything's good. No complaints. So let's get straight to it about the Yankees.
Let's get straight to it.
All right. So with Rizzo being on the bench, obviously, you know, yesterday, Lemayo starting, do you think this is an indication that they're slowly transitioning from Rizzo, and that his day's a number there?
I don't know. I think they recognize he's in a terrible funk, and you know they're gonna sit him down for maybe a day or two, and they even talked about possibly, like, you know, coming up with a plan for him. So yeah, I mean, I think they're recognizing. How could you not? It's a calendar year now of him not just being not himself, him being awful, And I know you could last year, a lot of it is about the injury and the concussion symptoms, no doubt. And in spring training, he actually hit the ball pretty well. It made me feel pretty good about this upcoming season for Izzo, but he's been terrible. He's just been awful. He's not himself defensively. I'm not going to say, you know, I probably overdid it. I got really mad at him the other day when he blew a game because of his defense. He's probably not been as bad defensively as many of us say, but he's certainly not the same old Gold Glove caliber first baseman. He's just not, and he's not hitting. I mean, so I think there is an idea, and I'll tell you this. It's progressed from, hey, come the trade deadline, maybe we'll see what's out there at first base. Now I think they're going to trade for a first baseman. I know, and thank you for the call, Danny. I'm going to try and get through some calls quickly. I know a lot of people will just say, hey, why don't you give Dominguez a glove? Give Dominguez a first baseman's glove. It's easy. I just don't think they're going to do that to Jason Dominguez. I mean, you want to give Judge a first baseman? You want to give Judge a first baseman's glove? All right, you're hurting two defensive positions. It's not that easy. Oh, teach someone. I mean, I guess if you bring then Dominguez up to play center, you're not killing center field. I would still say I haven't seen Dominguez enough in center field to tell you I think he's better than Judge. I think Judge covers a lot of ground. So. But he can't be that much. He's a pretty decent center fielder. So, but I just can't do that, man. I'd rather just go out and get a first baseman. Moose in Staten Island. What's up, Moose?
Hey, C-Mac. So I have to say you support Boone a lot and get criticized. Pre-game, people were saying, how could Boone not put Soto in the lineup? He had 2 days off. He needs to hit. But getting Grisham, good luck, good decision, whatever, it worked. So Boone even got credit on the internet from some Boone haters.
No way.
Gotta give him some credit.
No way. Well, a couple things.
And one other thing, Beatles thing. You're good on the Beatles. You know a lot of trivia. You may have heard this, but I'll throw it out to you. This was a Beatle B-side. I think it was the B-side of Let It Be single. You know my name. Look up the number.
Sure.
Do you know who plays saxophone on that song?
Who plays saxophone on that song?
Yeah.
That I do not know, no.
That was Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones.
How about that?
But I tell you what, you were good with Beatle trivia because someone was hitting you. Yesterday was just Paul, and then he said Julia was just John, and other songs
he
that
was
didn't
wrong.
Have four Beatles.
Yes.
The Ballad of John and Yoko. So you are a good Beatle fan. I give you proper credit for that.
Well, thank you, Moose. I wasn't I needed the Moose reassurance. I needed that stamp, that Moose stamp of approval. Otherwise, I was going around just calling myself a Beatle fan. I mean, really, did it mean anything until Moose confirmed it? But I'm just messing around, Moose. Thank you. But to your point about Boone, you said a couple things. Well, one in particular, to not play. No one's getting on him to not play Soto, I wouldn't think. I mean, you know, they wanted him to pinch hit, but Soto's kind of banged up. They were going to give him some days. I don't think it was up to Boone entirely whether to play Soto or not. I think they had a plan to just give him the Dodger series off, and we'll see if he's back for Kansas City. And it wasn't just playing Grisham, it was hitting him fifth. That was the jar. It wasn't just, oh, Grisham's in the lineup. It was, Grisham instead of Soto. I think that was expected. Grisham hitting fifth behind Stanton, in front of LeMahieu, in front of Cabrera, in front of Gleyber Torres. Like, Grisham's got an 880 batting average. He's hitting under 100, and yet he puts Grisham in the five spot. I think that's when everybody went nuts. Like, what is Boone doing? Playing guy in the fifth. And then, of course, the entire crowd is chanting for Soto to pinch hit for Grisham in that sixth inning. But, yeah, he played Grisham and he hit him in the five spot. He came up with two men on and hit a monster home run off of Glasnow. So, yeah, Boone had a good day. He's had good days. No one cares. I've been making this argument forever. He's had bad days. Of course he has. I'm not an idiot. Boone's made terrible decisions. Boone's made mistakes left and right. All managers do. The difference is those get remembered and talked about, and we poke at it and poke at it. But when he does something like this, no one cares. Grisham hit a home run. Good for Grisham. No one says, hey, the manager put him fifth when no one would have done that. I mean, the guy had an under 100 batting average. You got to hit him ninth. Nobody says, oh, look at that good move that saved the game. Nobody says that. The players win. The manager loses. And particularly, that's the situation with Boone. But you could throw Cashman in there, too. The players win, and Boone and Cashman lose. If a reliever gives up a run, it's not the reliever's fault. It's his fault. If a guy like Tonkin comes in and has a 5 ERA everywhere else and has been designated by two different teams three different times, but comes to the Yankees, has an ERA under one, good for him. Who are we crediting? Not Boone, that's for sure. Not when Boone brings him in or whatever, it's Matt Blake, maybe, if you feel like giving credit. But for the most part, no, Tonkin just figured it out. John in Queens, what's up, John?
Hey, how are you, Chris? Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Two quick things, real quick. The Grisham thing was, as a Mets fan who can't stand the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's more I can't stand the fans, was so cringeworthy. I was actually cringing when that happened, when they were cheering them after. They were basically telling them, get the hell out of here. We don't want you.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, could you now I'm a Mets fan, and we do very embarrassing things. Trust me, over the years, we're embarrassing with some of the stuff we do, right?
Right.
But can you tell the Yankee fans, you have the spotlight, could you stop wearing Yankee jerseys with the name on the back? It's embarrassing.
I mean, this is an old one, John. Yes, I don't really, honestly, I don't care about that stuff. I'm sorry. I wish I could. Do I do it? No. I don't own jerseys with the name on the back. No, I wouldn't. T-shirts, sure, I suppose. But no, jerseys, I wouldn't. But who cares? You think that's embarrassing? They got it a shot. You know what's embarrassing? $175 for a jersey. That's what's embarrassing. So if someone wants to pay $50 and it has the name on the back, I'm not going to tell them where to spend their money. Because the authentic, real ones with no name, that's how much they are. They're crazy. They're crazy expensive. But yeah, I mean, listen, don't do it. If you're a Yankee fan, you want my opinion, don't do it. But do what you want to do. That's the embarrassing thing. I thought you were going to say booing. I mean, we booed Stanton a couple of years ago. I booed Judge a couple of years ago. And now they're chanting for Grisham. They got scolded by their captain, which I loved. I can't tell you how much I loved Aaron Judge saying in the postgame comments that he didn't like it. I love it. I love it. Because it is, you want the player to perform and you're chanting the whole stadium to take him out of the game. When you know they're not going to do it, if he hasn't done it already, he's not going to do it. He's not waiting for your opinion on it. And he wasn't available. They were going to give him the Dodger series. Whether we like it or not, Soto was going to get the Dodger series. We'll see if he plays. But it's just, it's remarkable to me. And again, I understand pinch hitting for him. At that spot, you can't. I don't know if you could do it because he can't. I don't know if they were going to let Soto play the outfield. I thought the broadcast nailed it. I did. I understand you don't get you get limited opportunities. You're down in that spot, going against glass now. But if you have the Juan Soto pinch hit, like you got that once, he's not going to play. He's not going to come into the game and play. If he could play the outfield, then it's different. But I don't think they would be ready to give him an outfield day. So I mean, you had that bullet once. You can't use it in the sixth inning. And then who plays, you're down to your last outfield. Who plays in the outfield? Who plays center field? You got to put, you put Judge in center and you play Cabrera in the outfield. I mean, I guess you could do it, but it hurts your defense. I'm not willing to do that in the sixth inning. But quit chanting for things. Quit booing, you crazies. And it was two games. They lost two games to the Dodgers. I think they'll be okay. And Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. And the Mets keep their momentum with a split and head back for a series against Miami out in London, a split in London. Waller's retired. We went through it all. I'll see you again tonight, probably, after the Yankees-Royal game. I'm filling in for Keith, so I'll be on right after the post game. Everybody have a good Monday. Get back into the swing of things. Hopefully the weather stays as nice as it's been. Alex, thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you guys again later today. The warm-up show is next. Have a great Monday. I'm out of here. I'll see you guys later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.